Welcome to Two Girls Who Scare Easily. I'm Andy.
And I'm Katie.
This podcast is about spooky things that we find interesting.
Yeah. And this is episode 2. We don't have a title yet. We will.
Yeah.
We will have a title. But would you like to do our disclaimer?
Go ahead.
Okay. So like Andy said, we talk about spooky things, but also if you're new to this or just listening to podcasts in general, full disclaimer, we say what we want, we cuss. This is an adult show. It's an adult space. And, you know, we talk about scary or potentially eerie things. If that's not your cup of tea, we completely understand. Feel free to move on. If there's anything that's particularly triggering, we'll give you a heads up. So that you know what brand of weird you are in for. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that's good. Should we get into it?
Let's do it. Andy, what are you telling me about today?
Today, I am telling you about Riverdale Road. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I believe I have. Well, also, partially you. You told me about it.
Partially me, yeah.
And I was... give you a heads up. Oh, yeah, I guess we should say...
And then forbid you to look up anything about it.
Yes, I guess we should... We didn't say that in our intro episode, but we should say that now. The general structure of each of our episodes is that one of us will look up something spooky or eerie or true crimey or interesting that happens in the state of Colorado and tell it to the other one. The other one is not allowed to do any research about it.
Correct.
So I don't know what Andy is going to present, and then next episode, Andy is not going to know what I present.
Exactly. I'm very excited for next episode. I'm excited for this one, too, but...
This is gonna be fun. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So,
Riverdale Road. So, this is a road that runs between Thornton and Brighton from just north of 88th and Colorado in Thornton, all the way up to Highway 7 in Brighton.
It's a big road.
So it's this gorgeous road. Yeah, it's 11 miles. Okay. So not like the longest, but it's in general a really gorgeous road. Like I've driven this many times. I had to take it for a long time to take my kids to daycare. And like it's kind of between cities, like there's just, you might see like the backs of houses, but it's like a lot of open area and like woods. There's like a part of it is kind of by the Platte River and like it's really pretty during the day. But if you look up this road, it is touted as one of the most haunted roads either in the state of Colorado or the country, depending on your source. I don't know that I buy that because if you look up the most haunted roads in the country, it does not appear on any of those lists. I think it's wishful thinking, but it's still fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to start with some of the urban legends surrounding this road, and then we'll get into some of the things that have actually happened. So Riverdale Road is the reported site of the Gates of Hell, of which there seem to be many in this world. But one of them is in our own Colorado.
It's in between Thornton and Brighton, Colorado.
The Gates of Hell. Absolutely.
The Gates of Hell.
Okay, so here's the story of the Gates of Hell, right? I got this from kekbfm.com. And it was too good. I'm just going to read it how they had it. Those courageous enough to travel through the gates of hell come upon the ruins of the old mansion. It is said that the man who built it lost his mind. One night, he set the entire mansion ablaze with his wife and children asleep inside before he disappeared, never to be held accountable. So that's apparently...
So that's...
That's all it takes to make a gates of hell, apparently.
Okay, so the gate of hell wasn't there before that. Or he unwittingly built his house on top of it?
No, I think it formed because of this. And, like, there were literal gates kind of in front of the ruins of these mansions. There was, like, the gates to the estate.
Mm.
So it was called the Gates of Hell.
I see.
It is unclear if it was actually, like, you could access hell from there. Or if the gates are just evil. I don't know. Okay. But anyway, so now it is said that you can hear muffled screams where the mansion once stood. And it's also said that there's a woman in white who walks the road. And if you pull over to, like, ask if she needs help or whatever, she'll just ignore you and keep walking straight. And then when you look in your rearview mirror, she's gone.
Okay. So she doesn't interact with you at all. It's always a woman in white. There's always a woman in white walking down the side of a road or, like, standing on a bridge. Yeah. But she doesn't do anything.
Do you think that's a job in the afterlife?
Like, I fucking hope so because I want it.
Do you think there are jobs in the afterlife? Like, you could be a woman in white. Here's your
road. Yes, please. Here you go. You can do any of these roads in America, but your job is to walk. Maybe you'd have, like, a little bit of creative.
Right? Like, these are the shifts that are available.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can do morning. You can do, like, I feel like if you want the woman in white spot and you want the witching hour, you know, anywhere from, like, 2 in the morning to 5 in the morning, there's probably, like, an afterlife wait list for that.
Probably. You probably have to work your way up.
Yeah. I think you have to start out just, you know, your garden variety, poltergeist-esque haunt, and then you really build your resume.
Exactly. Okay, so there's another one. There's another story called Joggers Hill, which is supposed to be close to 120th on Riverdale Road. Got this one from antiquearchaeology.com. I'm just going to tell the story again.
Hey.
So the story goes that one night a jogger was out on a solo run on Riverdale Road, which leads to a popular hilltop overlook with a great view of the city lights. I said that weird, but out of the quiet night came a speeding car careening into the jogger, who was left to die alone in the darkness on the side of the road. Forever restless and angry at his fate, they say the jogger haunts this back road, looking for his killer in every passing car. He especially likes to creep up on people who park at the top of what is now called Jogger's Hill. Word is, if you kill your lights and engine, he'll think you were the one who hit him. Folks have reported hearing sounds of quick feet running towards them, followed by angry fists beating the sides of your car and handprints appearing on the window. And then I had heard there is another part to this that if the jogger makes it around your car to the driver's side, you die. My problem with that is that, like, if everybody who that happens to dies, then who's telling the story?
Exactly. How is that verified?
Yeah.
Who's, Okay. But, like,
yep.
I don't fucking play with ghosts that run.
No, it's like fast zombies.
No.
No.
The sound of running footsteps, absolutely not. I don't do it. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Because that sounds legitimately terrifying.
No, that would be terrifying. Like,
hitting your car.
Especially in the dark.
Fuck you. Absolutely not. No. Mm-mm.
So.
You're just trying to have, like, a makeout sesh, you know?
I mean, I feel like that could happen anyway. People just, like, messing with you. So there's other urban legends associated with this road. There's, like, a whole spectrum here. We cover all the angles. So there's a phantom Camaro.
Okay.
A driver in the 1970s was supposedly speeding on this road, which is very windy, and had a fatal crash. And so now you can see this phantom Camaro that pulls up behind you. Supposedly, it only has one headlight, and then it'll, like, disappear. There are visions of bodies hanging from the trees during full moons. It's been theorized that these were slaves.
Okay. Historically, that wouldn't necessarily line up with Colorado's history.
Not a ton of slaves.
But
not none.
No, not none. When it was a territory, yes, absolutely. But when it became ratified as a state, it was ratified as a non-slave-owning state.
Yeah.
So
there's that.
Okay. Hey. Okay. Were there people who broke that rule? Probably, because people are terrible.
Yeah. Supposedly, there was a young boy who got hit by a car on his way to school, and now he smears bloody handprints on every street sign as he walks by them. But by morning, all of the prints are gone. And then the last one, of course, right?
That's
the last scary. Legend, of course, is Native American shapeshifters. I'm going to say the name one time and then Ooh. Never again because these freak me out so bad.
I don't like them.
So we're going to pull a morbid and call them flesh pedestrians, but the actual name is skinwalkers. Never again.
Never
again. They freak me out so bad. So I did some digging.
They're legitimately one of the most terrifying spooky legends.
Absolutely. I'm not going to fuck with those at all, ever. Nope. Leave me out. So I did some digging to see what I could find of these urban legends, to see if there's any, historical context for them. So the Gates of Hell, there was actually a mansion where these were. It was built by an early settler named David Wolpert. He came out from Ohio in 1859. He came out to dig for gold around Breckenridge, but was driven out by the Native Americans. So he came to Denver and started a farm instead. So the legends that it was the owner that went crazy and burned down the house doesn't add up, because there was no fire until 116 years later. 1975, there was a fire that burned down the house, but nobody was living in the house at the time. So there were no fatalities or anything. Yeah.
Okay.
And now you can't even go see.
Okay. So do they think that it was just like...
I just got turned into an urban legend.
Do they think it was just like teenagers?
They actually... Okay. I looked. They didn't have any source of the fire listed. Like, they never said what started it. I mean, it was 1975, so it could have been...
Abandoned building.
It could have been almost anything. There were a lot of, graffiti and stuff in the area, which led to some more of the rumors of, Satanists and whatnot. But there was never any evidence of that. And now you can't even see the actual gates anymore because it got turned into a park. So if you want to go to a haunted park,
Oh, good.
It looks fun. I drove by it the other day.
That's nice. I feel like that's something that would happen. Well, A, it happened in the real world, but that also sounds like something from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Is that the gates of hell are now open under a park.
Exactly.
Because you know what's even creepier than the gates of hell? Children playing at the gates of hell.
It sounds like a good plan. Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely not going to be any negative outcomes from that.
Of course not. Never. Didn't even cross my mind.
So, the flesh pedestrians legend comes from, it's said that it's an Indian burial ground, which, that's pretty standard lore, I feel. Which, all of it belonged to them. So it's possible. I had our wonderful research assistant, my brother Austin, look this one up for me. And he said it's most likely referring to the Hazeltine archaeological site discovered during construction in the 1960s. The remains from at least 11 individuals were recovered. However, they date back to 566 to 971 AD. So those have some haunts with longevity, if that's what's happening.
Yeah, man, that's some giddy up. Right? Like, wow. First of all, that's absolutely fascinating that there's archaeological, like forensic archaeological evidence of people living here that long ago.
Right.
That's really cool.
I know. I feel like it gets glossed over all the time because it's not like white people who were living here. We're like, oh, only Europe has history that old. No, we have it too. It's still important. No.
Yep, North America does too. Yeah, people were still living here and manipulating their environment and creating things and like building culture a long ass time ago.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe it is a beautiful state and you said it was a beautiful road. Not that the road wasn't there, but maybe it was a beautiful area then too. And their spirits just loved it.
Yeah. And I do have, you know,
and we're like, we're going to stay.
Some events that could have contributed to pissing off any spirits that were lingering. So it is,
yeah.
Even without the urban legends, it is something of a spooky road.
Yeah.
So Thornton PD still receives inquiries about Riverdale Road, like every few years. There were 33. There were 33 property damage and injury accidents on Riverdale Road in 2019. So in 1 year, for one road that's not heavily trafficked, that's kind of a lot. I mean, it seems that way to me.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are, like, numerous fatal crashes. Every time I drive down that road, there's, like, the crosses on the side of the road, and it's kind of intense.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people...
Do they think because it's windy?
They think because it's windy and because it's not super heavily trafficked, people tend to speed as well.
Yeah.
So I found some true crime stories that did happen here. So, December 24th, 1987, Heidi Rose Ursula McGuire, she, 2 days before her last day of work at the Circle K, she, this 18-year-old disappeared. So she was last seen giving a male customer a ride home in her Chevy Monza. I don't know. Monza? Whatever.
I think so.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
He later told the cops that Heidi did give him a ride home and went into his house for a short time, and he gave her a soft drink, and then she left, and he didn't know anything else. 5 days after she vanished, her car was found in a ditch near 112th and Riverdale Road. And on February 14th, so like a solid 2 months after, Heidi McGuire's body was found in a field at 89th and Riverdale Road. An autopsy revealed someone had struck her in the head with a blunt object. And so this is still a Colorado cold case to this day.
And they didn't have anything on the guy?
Apparently not. Apparently they couldn't connect him.
Because, like...
That was it. That was all I found.
Come on, dude.
I know. Right? Like, you gave her a soft drink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The last person to see her up, oh, well, I invited her to my house, but then, like, I don't know what happened. Okay.
Right. So, this is the one that may have pissed off the flesh pedestrians. November 17th, 2016, a tanker truck filled with crude oil overturned on Riverdale Road, and it leaked into the canal that runs there. So, if I were a spirit connected to the land, I would be pretty pissed off about that.
Yeah. Yeah, but, for sure. Just poison my environment.
Totally. So this one is a really crazy story. Like, you could probably do an entire episode just on this story, but I'm going to give you the overview. So 2017, 19-year-old Natalie Bollinger disappeared on December 28th. Her boyfriend reported her missing, said he went to work at 6 a.m. and came home at 3:18 p.m. and noticed that Natalie and his gun were gone and her phone was still at the house. Her body was found later the next day on the 116th block of Riverdale Road. The coroner determined she'd been killed by a single gunshot wound to the head, and it was not suicide. She also had a lethal dose of heroin in her system that she had used shortly before her death. So,
what?
Right? Super mysterious. So, this one is solved, more or less.
Okay.
So, here's what happened. Joseph Lopez, who was 22 of North Glen, Colorado, was arrested and charged on February 8th. He told the police three different stories. So the first one was he was cruising Craigslist when he noticed a message that said, "I want to put a hit on myself." And it was placed by Natalie Bollinger in his story. And he picked her up, took her to 86th and Steele, but she said she wasn't comfortable with the location and he took her home. And that was it. He had no idea what happened after that.
Okay.
After they called bullshit on that. Yeah.
That's the most bullshit story I've ever heard.
Just took her home. Right?
Oh my God.
So, yeah. His next story. When detectives told him that his phone had pinged at several other locations, he said he remembered taking a wrong turn and ended up on Riverdale Road. He said she got out, kneeled down, took the gun out of her purse, and he tried to convince her not to shoot, but she shot herself. Which we also know is bullshit.
That's bullshit.
Because the coroner told us so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when the detectives told him that that was bullshit and she couldn't have shot herself, he said after Bollinger kneeled down, he walked up to her, held the gun in both hands, and said they were shaking, closed his eyes, turned to the right, said a prayer, and fired a shot. He freaked out, grabbed the gun and purse, and took off. Both items were found in his trunk.
So
his story is that she placed a hit on herself because she was, I assume, suicidal, in his version of events at least. And then he didn't want to, but he did follow her instructions and shot her.
Okay.
A stranger from the internet.
A stranger from the internet. And then he also, the reason that her purse and belongings were in his trunk was because that's where she put them when he picked her up for the hit? According to him.
No, he said he freaked out after it and grabbed them and put them in his trunk. Yes. Which it was her boyfriend's gun.
Yes.
So it's a very confusing story.
What do they think actually happened?
I don't know. That's all I got out of it. He pled guilty to second-degree murder and was sentenced to a max of 48 years in prison.
Okay. So he's...
This was just in 2017, so I assume he's still in prison.
Yeah. He fucking better be. You murdered someone. So, like, he still says, at least the public story is that, like, he helped her commit suicide. But that's not, no. It had to be some sort of, like, robbery gone wrong or something like that. Because, like, bruh.
I have.
Your stories are bullshit.
I have no idea.
Like, Craigslist is a wild place.
I don't know why
she
would have had her gut hurt.
But no.
You would think it would get flagged or they'd be able to find
you
it.
You cannot. No. Sir, none of what you say is true, except the fact that you shot her. That is true. That is very true. But, like,
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of mental health issues. Maybe she wanted to die, but it doesn't seem like it. Just it seems terribly unlikely to me.
Yeah, that seems
that is the way someone would choose to go out.
Yeah, that seems way,
I guess,
not the thing. But like that poor woman, her poor family, her poor boyfriend, like they just lost their loved one, and.
Exactly. And it's something in a way that, like, they just can't understand because they're getting this wild story.
Yeah. And yeah, when he pleads guilty, I imagine that there wasn't a trial if he pled guilty. Then there'd just be a sentencing hearing. And.
Exactly.
That's really unfortunate that if there's still any questions of, like, if they never get to find out what actually happened to their loved one. Other than the fact that she got shot. Like, maybe she's the woman on the side of the road.
Maybe. That could be. So our next true crime is also, I don't understand this one either. A car, it was in on October 23rd, 2017, and a car rolled off Riverdale Road, smashed through a fence and into a retention pond at 9:30 at night. The questions I have is that there were two 17-year-olds and a 30-year-old in this car. However, the car was being driven by Sarah Haverstall, who was 14.
What?
I have so many questions about this. Yeah. There were three legal drivers in the car, and the 14-year-old was driving.
Why were there three teenagers and a 30-year-old in the same... Were they related?
Doesn't sound like it. It says relationship with her is unknown. But both 17-year-old and the 30-year-old were fine. Sarah was the only one that was killed.
Oh, no.
So, Colorado State Patrol says that speed and alcohol were involved. Her mom called bullshit on that.
Okay.
I don't know, though. That was all I found out.
What did her mom...
Follow-up. There's a lot of these incidents don't seem to have a lot of follow-up on them, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, and the cops, you know, they think they get the idea, and then they go, okay, well, it's open and shut. We explained. We know what happened. Did her mom give... Why did she call bullshit? Just because that was very out of character for her?
Yeah, that's what she said.
No. What?
Yeah.
What was happening there? They didn't even go to any of the three other people and say, like, what the fuck happened? Why were you letting a 14-year-old drive? Why were you in a car with a 14-year-old?
I mean, presumably they did. There was no follow-up in the news or anywhere I could find online.
Yeah. Thornton Police Department.
Yeah. Right? Oh. It's heartbreaking. Like, somebody was making bad decisions, and I'm not going to blame the 14-year-old.
No.
On that one.
Like, that they're a child. Like, you're 14. You're a child. Like,
exactly.
The onus is
they were
not
a
on...
a child in the car with people who should have known better.
Yes. Like... Mm-mm. The 30-year-old should have fucking known better. Like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So then, in 2018, we got pedestrian killed in collision at East 104th Avenue and Riverdale Road. That was all the details I could find on that one.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, July 28th, 2020... a body was found in the South Platte River down along Riverdale Road. It turned out to be 64-year-old Bruce Allen Hale, who had been homeless and living along the 9,000 block of Riverdale Road on the riverbank. He had been stabbed in the torso. And again, that was all I could find on that one. I didn't find any follow-up, but he was an unhomed individual, so...
They don't usually do.
I don't know how much. Yeah.
It's really unfortunate, but yeah, when it tends to be someone experiencing homelessness or unhomed, like, they tend to not do anything about it. It's just, well, they're, you know, they're dead. But he was stabbed. Like, someone killed him.
Yeah, it was not an accident.
Yeah, that's not, that doesn't just happen. That's intentional. Like, oh no. Oh, my
exactly.
Goodness. There's a lot of just.
This road is wild.
This road's weird.
Like, I had no idea. So, since I don't want to leave it on a bummer, I'm going to tell you some of my experiences. Because I've had a few.
Okay.
And I have talked to several other people who have driven this road. And like I said, it's gorgeous during the day. It's beautiful. It's one of my favorite roads to drive because it does not feel like you're in the city or the suburbs or whatever. Like, it's just beautiful. At night, it gets creepy, though. Mm-hmm. And so I've had several people tell me that they had the same experience where you'll be driving along and there's somebody behind you and then all of a sudden they're gone. The headlights are just gone. There are not a lot of turnoffs on this road. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of it's a real through street. Like, there are a few turnoffs for, like, houses, particularly once you get north of, like, 128th. There's, like, driveways, and that's it. And so yeah. I had numerous times where headlights behind me would just be gone.
Yeah.
And then I have seen what they're talking about with the kids' handprints on the signs. It doesn't look like handprints to me. It looks like somebody shot them with paintballs or something, and it's like a weird residue that's reflecting different.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're like splattered, and I've never seen any other signs that look like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there also aren't a lot of streetlights out here. It's like really dark.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The really spooky ones. This is where it gets fun.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I was driving home one night, and my windows were kind of fogging up, and I looked over, and there was a child-sized handprint on my passenger side window. Just one perfectly formed child-sized handprint.
Fuck no.
Mm-mm. Now, full Mm-mm. disclosure, I do have small children. However, they had not been in that part of my car.
Yeah.
And they are tiny, hyperactive monsters and would not leave a single perfectly formed handprint. They would have goobered the entire window.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And then the most horrifying thing, I was telling my brother and sister-in-law about this. And they go, was it on the inside or the outside of the window? And I could not decide what was worse.
That was going to be my question.
When you think about it like that.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Is it on the inside or is it on the outside? Because nobody know.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Just noping it.
So when you looked over and you saw the handprint, what went through your mind?
My reaction to paranormal things seems to be freeze. You know, if it's like an active physical threat, I'm more of a fighter, sometimes a fleer. When it's paranormal, I just freeze. Just kind of looked at it, and then I turned straight back to the road and just finished driving home. I'm just like, I don't know what to do about this.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna go home now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, what do you do? Because I feel like in that point, especially based on some of the legends you said earlier, if you stop the car, like, shit's going to get way fucking worse. So you have to keep going.
Like, that's the worst thing you could do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like getting...
It's insane. Yeah. So then the most recent thing that happened, I was driving along that road at night. Again, I should probably learn.
Don't do it.
And just don't. Just go a different way. There are lots of other streets. So I was driving and I glanced up in my rearview mirror and it was just a woman's face.
What the fuck?
Just her eyes. Yep. Taking up my whole rearview mirror, blue-eyed, blonde-haired woman who did not look friendly, and I flipped shit. And when I looked back, it was gone, and I'm, you know, obviously checking my back seat and everything, but yeah, that was terrifying.
When was that?
And again, though, I'm like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
That was just a few months ago, actually. Like, I don't drive that road very often anymore, but... Yeah.
Oh, it was hell no.
Terrifying. And my husband does not believe in anything paranormal. And so he was just like, yeah, whatever. You're just seeing things.
Yeah, I am. And that's the problem.
And it's still that. Oh,
is I am seeing right? things.
I can still see it is the problem.
Yes. Like, that doesn't mean it's not real. When you say I'm seeing things, yes, I am. That is an issue. I should not be seeing another person's yeah. eyes in my car.
That is the problem. She did not look friendly.
Oh, no. You just start putting on, like, the happiest music you can think of. Just trying to, like, change the energy of, like, da-da-da-da-da. I'm going right? to put on some, like, Disney tunes. Exactly. Or, I don't know, Christmas music. Like, something. Anything. Anything.
Something. Anything else.
Mm-hmm. What's the opposite of scary? So, I'm going to play that.
Right? So, and a lot of these things, I have to say, a lot of these things happened, actually all except the last one, happened before I looked into Riverdale Road, before I had heard that it was supposed to be haunted or spooky or whatever.
Okay.
So, I wasn't even, like, primed.
Yeah, there wasn't the,
The idea wasn't already in my head that something was going to happen.
Like, confirmation bias. Type effect where, like, you already mm-hmm. know, so you're looking for something to happen. You had no idea.
No.
Oh, fuck that.
It was just
spooky. You know what you have to do now?
What?
Don't drive Riverdale Road at night. But B, if you ever have to, you just gotta make sure that you're always packing that bundle of sage.
Right?
Just keep yourself strapped at all times. So if something happens, you just go straight to lighten it up. Right. Just let it burn in your car. Just
driving down the road.
Just not today. Not today. We're saging the whole
not
car.
Today, Sam.
Not today.
Just flinging salt.
That would probably be my... Yeah, that would probably be my reaction. I'd be like, fuck you! Because I tend, when something paranormal or, like, weird or scary happens to me, I tend to, like, get really vocal towards it. So I think I'd just be like, nope, fuck you. And I just, yeah, throw salt, start lighting sage. I'd be like, no, not up in this bitch. Go on, get out. Just get out.
Right?
Like, when I watch horror movies and something scary's happening, yeah, I'm always, like, yelling at the TV, like, fuck you, absolutely not. Don't you dare. Don't you take that tone. And my partner is always like, Katie, what do you think? Do you think that's going to change the effect? I'm like, no, but it makes me feel like I have more control in this situation.
Right, and I may have. It's entirely possible that I was just like, no, thank you. No, thank you. I'm very polite when I'm terrified. Like, I'm good. No, thank you. Bye.
I think that's great that you still, like, you still have manners. You're still respectful of the spiritual entity. No thanks. I'm full. I've had plenty.
But thank you, though.
Of you.
But no.
So much. Wow. You know, that's great. If we could rain check on you making an appearance in my vehicle, I would really appreciate that.
Right. Because I have heard that, like, sometimes that works. If your house is haunted or whatever, and you're just like, hey, I need you to stop doing that. Sometimes they listen.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably what was going through my mind. But, yeah, I just, like, drove home and I kept compulsively glancing in my mirror because even though, like, I didn't want to see, but I had to. And then you turn off of Riverdale and it's like just perfectly normal suburbs. It's well lit, totally fine. Yeah. So that's Riverdale Road. It's a spooky one. There's something going on.
That's a whole lot of nope.
Right?
That's a whole lot of, no thank you. Thank you so much, but no thank you. I feel like haunted roads, because they get, like, a captive audience, you know, like, with a haunted road, you have to be on it.
Right.
For whatever reason. Like, you don't have a choice. So that just seems...
At least until the next turn.
Yeah. And even then, it's... Yeah, it's just like... I can't go anywhere. I can't leave.
Right?
I'm just gonna yeet myself out of the car. Just... Mm-mm. But then you're out on the road walking. Do you know... Is it a pretty common space for, like, cyclists and runners and things like that now?
I have not seen many. I don't think so. Okay. It's kind of out of the way to get to, and it seems like it would be pretty risky mm-hmm. for someone, just because it's a lot of blind yeah. turns and whatnot, and, like, people do go fast.
Yeah. And not much... Yeah, and not much shoulder.
Exactly, yeah.
Because that tends to happen on a lot of the Colorado back roads. There's not a lot of, like, bike lane or shoulder mm-hmm. or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's super popular.
Ugh. Heebie-jeebies. Well, thank you for sharing your terrifying experiences. I'm sorry that you had them.
You know, paranormal experiences for me, terrifying experiences, are kind of one of those things where, like, I hate it. I hate it while it's happening. But then afterwards, I get to, like, think about it from a safe space. And then it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Then it piques your curiosity. And, you know,
exactly. And then it gives me something to talk about on a podcast.
That's very true. That's very true. So, another question that I have... is in, you're in a horror movie, right?
Okay.
Which of the responses do you have? You hear something creepy or see something creepy. Do you go and investigate? Are you the one who says, I'm going to call for help and leaves? Or are you the one that's trying and failing desperately to get everyone to stay together in the one singular well-lit room?
Honestly, I almost hate to admit this, but I'd probably go investigate. I'd probably grab some sort of weapon. Yeah. I'd probably go investigate.
Yeah. Do the whole, like, I'll be back in 2 seconds.
Great. I would go all, like, Mama Bear. I'd be like, you stay here. I'm going to go check this out. And then you'd never hear from me again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
What about you?
I think it would depend on the situation. I am enough of a history nut that if it were, like, your good old-fashioned, like, haunting movie, I would probably be curious. Like, I would definitely be the person who's like, tell me about the house. Oh, we found this room that was walled off in the basement. Cool. I'm going to go spend time in there by myself, touching everything. But I think if it was like your typical, like, slasher flick where they hear something ominous or something happens, I would definitely be the one desperately trying to get everyone. Someone's at the front
door.
Desperately trying.
It was my doorbell.
Nice. I'd definitely be trying to get everybody to stay in the one well-lit room. I'd be like, no, 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 no. We're not leaving. We're going to put all of our lanterns in this one area. We're going to have all of our weapons. Nobody separate from the group. It wouldn't work. Everyone would separate. And then I'd probably be the one that, like, the murderer is behind me, and then I'd turn around and just get, like, stabbed in the face or something.
Yeah. I feel like if it was an established situation where there was a murderer or a ghost or something, then I would be like, no, 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 we need to stay together. Let's not be heroes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, at the beginning of the movie,
but I'd be the
one that died first.
I'm definitely going to explore. No, but then the problem is, yeah, when it comes to anything else, like creepy doll, random object found in your home, remodeling, I am too curious for my own good. I would touch it. I would touch it. And I would know while I'm doing it that it's a terrible idea to do. But I would do it. Like, so I have a bunch of doll parts around my house. Various and sundry. I got them all from, I do know where they came from. If anyone's listening and going like, well, did they just show up at your house? No.
They didn't. That would be the most horrifying thing ever, right?
They were given to me. So my friend Cameron, his mom used to make dolls. So she gave me she gave him a big box of all of these doll pieces from dolls that she never made. And he said, I don't want these. Katie, do you want these? They seem like something that you like. And I went, you're absolutely right. I do like them. So I figured, I was like, okay, well, what am I going to do with them? I've spray painted some of them black and have put them like all around the house. Naturally, my partner is absolutely thrilled.
I imagine.
That they're just lingering. There's just a spray painted doll's head staring at him when he comes in. And so his parents came to visit, and his dad is a massive antiques collector, and they saw all of the doll parts. He was like, oh, well, I didn't know that you liked stuff like that. You know, I have a glass doll's head that was my great grandmother's. Do you want it? It's just the head. And I was like, you said the magic words. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because I have some other like porcelain ones that I've put in my plants.
I was actually just going to suggest
so, like,
it.
Doll heads and arms and stuff like that. Oh, I've got them. And so now I'm going to get a family heirloom doll's head. I could not be more thrilled. And my boyfriend's mom, she was like, well, I'm glad that it's going to get out of my house because I don't want it.
I am the opposite.
I was like, okay, good.
I wanted this antique trunk from my grandparents, and I open it and it's just filled with these antique dolls that were so creepy. And I was just like, nope. And so I made my mom take them.
Of course.
Because I was like, I'm not doing that. I'll take the trunk. Someone else needs to deal with these dolls. And I'm not going to. I'm not going to do anything with them because I don't want to offend them in how I dispose of them. And so apparently, she took them, and one of her coworkers' kids was like, had just watched Chucky, like a teenage kid, and was absolutely terrified. And so this woman that my mom worked with took the dolls, and they just used them to like terrify each other for a couple of months. Just like put them places.
Like some horrible elf on the shelf.
Exactly. I have no idea what happened to them after that, but it's not my problem. There was no way I was bringing those home, though.
Yeah, well, I think dolls are always that thing. They either terrify people or you're absolutely fine with them. Everyone's got their thing. You know, dolls, clowns, that kind of stuff has never really been my fear. I have plenty of others. Like, I absolutely have 50 million other fears. Now, that's not to say that, like, I collect, like, the full-size dolls. I just don't really like them. It's not that I think they're scary. I just think that they're clutter. And, like, what the fuck am I going to do with them?
Yeah, that's fair.
So, and I feel like if you get the full-size antique doll and then you cut off its head, if there wasn't anything that you woke up before, you sure as shit woke it up now. So I'm not going to do that.
Well, and that was my other thought, was that these antique dolls have been slumbering peacefully in this antique trunk for God only knows how long, because it was like hidden clear back in a storage room that I didn't even know existed in their house. So, I mean, it could have been 50 years that these dolls were back there undisturbed. Just on the off chance that they were happy that way. I'm not going to risk it.
No. Yeah. Don't do it.
No.
Don't wake them up. Mm-mm. Don't, If they're already dismembered, I'll use them. But I'm not going to be the one responsible.
That's fair.
For dismembering them.
You're giving them respect and second life as dismembered dolls.
Yes.
That seems reasonable. I don't see what that would make them angry.
So far, I have not woken up to find them in any different positions other than the ones that I put them in. Now, if that ever happens, you know, I know what to do. I just torch the house and I start a new life.
Exactly.
I get a new identity. It's okay. I'm just going to leave. Thank you.
I'm going to ask that you kindly videotape it for the podcast, though.
Me torching the house or the doll?
Yeah. I'm just going to need you to give a little intro. Hey, guys. This doll moved last night. Time to burn it all down.
Yep. Absolutely not. We are not going to play with that. No, thank you. Ugh. It's not the weirdest thing I have in my house, though. I do have...
Okay, what's the weirdest
thing? We'll talk about all the other.
Like, if you had to rank it, what right now, in this exact moment, is the weirdest thing you have in your house?
Probably I have a pile of my partner's hair. like a pile of it. He gave it to me. That was him. And actually I just got it and I was beyond thrilled that I just got it. So when he was a teenager, which is very typical, like, especially teenage boys, when you're able to, like, make decisions about your own hair for the first time, naturally they all grow it out, like, super long and skatery. And I guess his aunt would always make fun of him for having long hair. Like, you're a hippie, blah, 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 blah. So the year he decided to cut it, he cut all of it off, saved it, and then put it in a box and gave it to her for Christmas. I was like, you petty bitch. I love that. I was like, this is how I know that you and I are meant to be together. So he wrapped it up for her and was like, here you go. Here's your gift. You wanted me to do this. Somehow his mom ended up saving it. So when they came out to visit, she found it. She was like, I'm going to throw it away. And I think he said, no, keep it. Katie would want that. Because he knows me so well. So they brought it out and he was like, hey, babe, guess what's in here? And at first I was like, I think my first thought was doll parts. And he was like, no, even better. And I was like, bones. And he said, a little less than that.
Oh my god.
I opened it and it was this bright, beautiful red hair, because he has red hair. And I was like, oh my god, your hair? And he's like, yeah, for sure. And then he told me the story and I was like, this is amazing. So now I have a bag of his hair in a tin in my, like, witchcraft altar space room. And there's enough of it, I can do at least two crafts.
Oh my god. If we ever get a P.O. Yeah. box for our podcast, we are gonna get the weirdest shit.
I'm gonna get so much hair. Okay, guys, as a disclaimer, I don't just want everybody's hair. Like, it's
just hair and doll parts.
Something... Oh, no. Christian is not going to be happy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry. But, oh, my God. Send me weird things, please. So, yeah. And I was like, I did ask him. I was like, just for my own, you know, boundaries, is there anything you don't want me to do with this hair? And he was like, what are you planning? I feel like if I have to tell you not to do something with my hair, Katie, what are you planning on doing? And I was like, oh, no. I don't know. I mean, I was thinking of making one of those Victorian era memento mori hair wreaths, you know, and having it be like this beautiful decorative piece, or putting some of it in a locket and carrying it around with me, or I don't know, making a talisman or maybe a doll. And he was like, remind me to never piss you off.
Right.
Because, like, that's honestly, that's a pretty good idea. Because, like, I have something of you in my possession at all times. I was like, but to keep it fair, you can absolutely have something of me. I'll give you some of my hair. That's cool. Like, I can do that. So, yeah, that's currently maybe the weirdest thing.
That's fantastic.
I have in my house.
I'm going to start playing this game. Just be like, hey, what's in your house today?
Honestly, for the amount of times I go thrifting every week, that could be a really fun game. Here's all the weird things that Katie found at the thrift store.
I did find a fantastic, ridiculous jaguar dress at a garage sale the other day.
Describe.
It's just got like a full jaguar down the front. I'm actually sitting next to it because I wore it on Friday.
Wait, like a picture of a full jaguar?
No, it's a dress. So it's like the whole thing, and then it's like stripey on the bottom. It's fantastic.
Oh.
It's arguably slightly too small for me, but I love it so much. I couldn't pass it up.
That's a statement. Oh, I like that.
It was a find.
I wore a wolf shirt the other day. So I really like that we both have this whole animals on our clothing theme. Because I have my favorite pajama shirt is three wolves howling at a moon. And I wore it out in public yesterday. A 15-year-old, I'm pretty sure she was 15. She could have been 15. She could have been 20. I honestly can't tell. She said that my shirt looked really cool. So I've still got it.
They're making a comeback.
They're making a comeback.
Yeah, right?
I was like,
we're still cool.
It's like, I still got it. I still fucking got it.
I wore that dress to a bar on Friday, and I got my very first yes queen on it. So.
It's a 10.
Yeah.
That's a keeper.
It was worth it. Mm-hmm. I got that and a necklace and a pack of tarot cards for $5.
That's a good deal.
It was a good deal.
Garage salesman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find the weirdest, best stuff at garage sales. So many things. Just lamps, pictures, you know, knickknacks, costume jewelry. A lot of fun costume jewelry at garage sales.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good time. And our second episode.
Wow.
We did good.
That's an episode.
That's a great thing.
We did.
So if people...
Improve.
Where can they find
subscribe.
Us?
Subscribe.
Yeah.
Rate us, review us. So obviously you're listening to this, so you must have found us somehow. But we'll be on Spotify and Amazon and Apple and, I don't know, wherever else you stumble upon us. If you would like to share your spooky stories with us, you could email us at twogirlswhoscareeasily@gmail.com with the number 2. So number 2, girlswhoscareeasily@gmail.com. And we are on Instagram at @twogirlswhoscareeasily.
Is that also with a number? I forgot. I know we said it last episode.
Yes,
I forgot.
Also with the number 2.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep it consistent with the number 2 everywhere.
Smart. Good marketing tactic. Yeah. And what else do we need to add? Next episode is going to be me. So Andy's going to be the one who is surprised and scared. And I'm very excited. And what else are we going to... Was there anything else?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Oh, should I do another...
I hope you enjoyed.
I do hope that you enjoyed.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know. Is that too much? Is it too much? Is it too much if I plug a completely unrelated
podcast? I'll do it for you.
Okay. You do it.
No, there has to be overlap.
There's We're going to get them. You cast, okay. You get the most fish when you cast a wide net.
Exactly. So if you have loved listening to Katie's melodious voice, you can also find her on Two Girls and a TARDIS, which is her other podcast about beautiful, nerdy things and Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. So if you like that show.
Also, wherever you found this podcast.
I imagine that they're going to be on the same thing. We post it wherever it's easy to distribute. If you like science fiction, if you like fantasy, go ahead and switch over to that. It's with my friend Brittany, who is going to end up becoming your friend, Brittany. Because.
Yes.
Why not? Because she's super cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we really hope you enjoyed listening to our second episode ever. We will see you next time.
Yeah. Next time.
Okay. Well, bye, everybody.
Okay. Bye.